With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. Attention. Do I have everybody's attention now?
Burn it down!
This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, then he's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
And everything in between.
Super Kick Hot Tag!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my house, baby.
Welcome everyone to the In My House Fair Wrestling Podcast. The gang is all here. It's Scotty Villa. It's UK Tom. It is Monday night back from assignment from the weekend. How's it going, fellas?
What the fuck did you even just say?
Did you say Monday back?
Yeah, good.
Did I?
God.
Hello, I said Monday Mike back. Monday Mike back.
Nope. Monday back.
We're going to let it back. Slide because it is the one and only Scotty Villa. John Cena's number one fan.
That's not true.
It is his birthday today.
60 today.
Yeah. 60 years young. Lover of John Cena. Scott preaches hustle, loyalty, and respect in his day-to-day life.
You know I've never hustled.
We love him for it.
I've never hustled a day in my life. I've got a driver's license. I don't hustle anywhere.
I don't know. I saw you hustle pretty quickly into Deja Vu on Saturday, Friday.
Yeah. I mean, that was a good time. It was a real good time.
It was a great time.
I've been telling the story. My two favorite parts from Deja Vu over the weekend is when the person brought the salad and we just sat there and I really wanted him to guess. I would have loved it. He would have just guessed. And then when our waitress is like, Mike, do you want to refill on your Diet Coke?
Holy fuck, man. You know, yeah, let's bring that up a little bit here. Not only does she hit me with the jab, I know a lot of people don't know what we look like here on the pod, but I can assure you, I'm the skinniest member of the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Can confirm.
By quite a long way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then at first I was like, am I drinking Diet Coke? Had me all fucked up in my head. But then when it was like, I can clear some plates unless you're still eating. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, she doubled down on it. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Tubby just wants to get his fill. Just sauce on my fucking face, probably.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Great time, though. Great time.
Incredible time.
But, yeah. Thanks for you, to you young whippersnappers for letting me enjoy the podcast with you guys each and every week. You youngins. So.
You old fuck.
So, I have to make a correction on something I said last week.
Ooh, time correction.
I said that the Dynamite Kid was Tommy Billington's dad. He is not. He is his uncle. I knew that and misspoke. One more person DMs me to tell me that. I'm a shit on your face.
You know what?
Good thing we have a paralegal on staff. Yeah.
Oh, huge pop. You know, it's just going to come back. I was just almost ready to bring it back. I think the world's over it. Oh, man, that's good. I say continue the DMs. Keep flooding the DMs, letting them know he was wrong. That's the kind of guy I am. A stand-up guy.
Yeah. But we had fun last week recording the review for the debut of Reaper Wrestling. The reason we did it, because we were still super hyped on a fun night we had at the matches. And it was a lot of fun. And thanks to everybody that's reached out and listened and reached out that it's cool. It's cool to get all that feedback from people all over the place that just listen to your fun little show that you're doing with your best pals. So thanks for that.
Unless it's to tell me I'm wrong. Fuck off.
Yeah, don't do that. But do that.
If you do that, please do that. And then we can read that on air. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. That's a great segment idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure if reading some of the of my DMs would be a very good idea.
Yeah, I mean, keep it classy.
Should we try it?
Keep it classy, yeah, everyone.
I mean, because we're a real classy podcast around here.
That's right.
I think so.
I think so.
I stay the fuck out of the way of the action, don't I?
I mean, I haven't dropped the C-bomb in a while. So.
Bring it back, I say. You're excused. You're British.
Before we get into the show, because it was myself and UK Tom doing the show, I did want to ask Mike just a real quick overall experience for the debut show of Reaper Wrestling that you had with us.
Guys, Reaper Wrestling was a real fun time.
Right?
Reaper Wrestling is Saskatchewan's ECW.
Wow.
Minus the horrible violence. Maybe yeah. They're getting it. Who knows? They could be shaping up for something extreme, brother. But I had a really great time. I really enjoyed myself. I think environment's good. I mean, put us in a room and we'll get things going. Big shout out to UK Tom. I mean, obviously him being from the UK, just king of the chance.
Crushed it.
Yeah, love it. Love being involved. Me just cutting shit talk.
A real cheeky bugger you are. A real cheeky bugger.
Yeah,
right?
that's a way to put it. Yeah, there's really not a whole ton of notes outside of me just like not understanding the fifth dimension. Like, I don't fucking get it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm ever gonna get it. Should I get weeded again? Maybe if I started getting weeded again, I'd understand what the fifth dimension is. I know what gimps are, so that hit. Like, I am well aware of what a gimp is.
And that was one.
Yeah, that sure was. That got me. That was the biggest pop from that. But and then also, the referee. My gripes with the referee. I don't, you know, I should have been here. But you guys did a great job.
Thank you.
You know, I get you taped. I saw the camera. Then why is it that my boy Mullet, and I apologize, Mullet, because I don't know your name. How was he able to stay out of the way and still be in there when he needs to be? But the other guy, I swear, had it out for me. Just had it out for me. ass in my face the entire. At one point, he could have farted. I bet he did. His way of blowing me a kiss to say, fuck you, Monday Night Mike. We listen to the pod. You're a real piece of shit. How's this for you? It wasn't good, and I didn't enjoy it. There's potential that I got fart in both my eyes and my mouth.
You know, it wasn't, but 2 minutes ago, we were saying we were a classy podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's out the window. Back to horrible DMs getting sent that we can read on the podcast. But other than that, it was great. And again, I take the shots as I will. But other than that, yeah, I mean, be a little more aware.
I'm very much looking forward to June 27th.
100%.
We'll be back there for Jinai Kai, Miyu Yamashita, and Sean Moore versus Frankie Kazarian in a lumberjack match. Plus,
yeah,
whatever crazy that they come up with.
So. Yeah, I mean, it top to bottom, the card was very entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, the talent that's coming in, I think Aaron, who was on the show, and all the Reaper crew did a wonderful job. If that's setting the tone for what your shows are going to be like, that's a really great way to start your promotion. I had a blast being there.
Yes, and speaking of having a blast and ECW vibes, we're a little late to the party, but we should probably talk about Sabu. Everybody will know by now that Sabu died. He was actually 61 too. Everyone thought he was 60. But just a wrestling legend, another one gone at a relatively early age. But I mean, to be fair, did any of us expect Sabu to make it to 80?
How? It would have been rad if he did.
It would have been awesome.
Yeah. It sucks because the last match he had was just in April. It was just last month against Joey Janela. And it was one of the shows that Tom, you watched live and that you were letting us know in the group chat, like, holy fuck this bump and holy fuck this bump and Sabu can still move. And it was great to see. It was great to hear. Then you start seeing those clips and you're like, Jesus Christ, dude.
I mean, it's gotta be one of my all time favorite clips in a while. Yeah. which is unfortunate considering the circumstances now, but yeah. That bump that he takes from in ring to outside of ring, I literally like, I hate to say it because I mean, rest your soul, Sabu, but I popped so hard for that clip.
Oh, it was brutal.
But I mean, Sabu, to talk about that kind of legacy, when I was getting back into wrestling, another one of the DVDs I got from one Scotty Villa, John Cena's number one fan, Scotty Villa, was The Rise and Fall of ECW.
Great DVD.
Yeah, it's an incredible DVD. And that's when I was like most, I think, who like get out of wrestling, get back in through that kind of style again, and not and it all brings you back to the Fed. But yeah, that DVD, and then obviously going down that rabbit hole of watching a lot of Sabu. To be like, man, this guy insane.
Well, I don't think it would be an exaggeration to say that wrestling wouldn't be what it is today without Sabu.
Agreed.
And that's the one thing that I've loved seeing, unfortunately, since Sabu's passing, is it's not just GCW guys, it's not just ECW guys, it's pro wrestlers of all types, all technical. You know, legends, everybody across the board was talking about how Sabu was an insane innovator when it came to pro wrestling. And I heard one of the Dudley boys, or I read it, that they credit Sabu for being the first like wrestler associated with the table. It wasn't the Dudley boys. It was Sabu. And seeing a lot of clips of his returns to ECW after either being fired or being injured and the insane pops that you get and him just going out there with no care in the world other than I need to do this spot and make sure my opponent's safe. I'm not worried about myself. is wild and insane. And you also hear the stories about how much he respected the business and the history of the business. And if you're a young boy, you've got to earn your stripes. You've got to respect the veterans that came before you. And from what I've heard and read since Sabu's passing, is he was one of the front runners of no. Even though I've been here a long time, if he's in a locker room with a Terry Funk, he's carrying Terry Funk's bags, and it's not even a question. Do you need any food, any water, anything? Sabu was that guy. So that was awesome to hear, because you never did really hear that stuff openly in public, and Sabu getting his flowers before his passing. So it's great to see and hear those stories from the guys that worked with him and around him.
I only got to meet Sabu once, and it was a very memorable experience. Mainly because, A, it was watching Sabu wrestle, which no matter what shape he was in, he was always going to give you everything. But the meet and greet is what sticks out in my head with Sabu. And I think I can get away with telling the story on the podcast.
Yeah, of course you can.
I don't know if anyone would give a shit. So I'm at the meet and greet with Sabu, and I'm talking to him, which, A, to begin with, is weird because you never hear Sabu speak. And halfway through a sentence, he just turns to me and goes, "Brother, can you, do you get me cocaine?" And I'm like, "No, I don't do that." He's like, "Did your friend have cocaine?"
Yeah, it'd be a lot cooler if you did.
I'm like, "No, he's even less likely to have it than me. Can't really help you there." He's like, "You know where we can get some cocaine?"
You're like, you keep phrasing the question, and you know my answer is going to be no.
I was like,
but as long as you keep talking to me, this is okay.
Yeah, you know where we can get cocaine? I'm like, I'm not from this city. I don't even know where I am.
Did you ask the promoter? That's a good start.
Yeah. In the end, I did have a little. I was a bit of a dick. I thought I'd be funny. And I told him to go ask Zack Sabre Jr., who is a who is straight edge. which I thought was very funny. I don't think Zach did, but but that was my one and only interaction with Sabu. And also his wife was there at the time. I don't know if they're actually married. His girlfriend, Melissa Coates, mm-hmm. who, for those who don't know, do you remember Backlash 2004 when Chris Masters did the Master Lock Challenge with a lady?
Okay.
On the pay-per-view? That was her.
Oh, really?
She was jacked. Anyway, She was doing the Super Genie gimmick with Sabu as his manager. And she's dead too, but she had some Ravalage chesticles, and my friend was a little bit drunk and very interested in them.
Wow.
And
sounds like a regular old Scotty Villa, am I right?
She noticed his interest and was quickly going to beat the fuck out of him.
Well, what was he doing? He's going in for a squeeze, like pull it together.
Either way, if she'd kicked the fuck out of him, that would have been my favorite night ever.
It's a great story.
I mean, you know, sexually assault someone, I hope you get your ass kicked.
I mean, also Sabu is like right there. Bad idea.
Yeah,
he was in a hurry to find some cocaine, God rest his soul.
Yeah,
but again, Sabu's in that era, and like we're seeing that trim down of like live fast.
Oh yeah, that ECW crew was basically all on cocaine from the stories that I've been hearing podcasts and shoot interviews and radio shows. So yeah, that was the lifestyle.
The one match, the Sabu match that I will recommend to everybody without hesitation is Sabu versus Abyss in that barbed wire match. It's on YouTube. TNA have just uploaded it. It is fantastic. I highly recommend it. Also, all kidding aside about the crazy bumps and the little bit of weirdness that happened at the beginning of his retirement match with Joey Janela, seek that out too, because it is just wholeheartedly a Sabu match.
Great moment in that match.
Yeah. I don't know if there is a positive side to this. There's a lot of people donating to the GoFundMe for funeral costs and for his family. But there's been rumors since last year that WWE is going to release an ECW channel on YouTube, much like the WCW Vault channel and that they've got there. And from stuff I've been seeing online, that this might have fast forwarded it a little bit to get launched sooner, because people are seeking out Sabu matches left and right and crazy right now, as they should, as they want to remember the man that was homicidal, suicidal, genocidal, like the most innovative guy out there in the 90s. So I'm hoping we get that soon so we can get the full library of ECW on YouTube and go find some great, great Sabu matches.
So there, I have a question too, because I'm not, I haven't gone too deep into the YouTube way of them doing the vault.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of monetization on YouTube, right? Like they mass amount of followers on their stuff. Like, how does that look? Has anyone watched the WCW stuff around the Monday Night Wars? Like, is some of that stuff edited? Like,
I've watched some and I haven't seen too much editing.
Because I mean, ECW's a tricky beast.
It'll be the same that it would have been on the network, where you're not going to get like Sandman coming out to Metallica. It's going to be generic dub music. But yeah, I haven't really dived deep into it. It's the main reason why I got premium YouTube, was to watch, you know, the WCW vault.
So jealous.
Yeah. So actually, WCW was live. Like that WCW channel was live today. So I clicked on it. It was just like a random episode of WCW Thunder, which was just batshit bonkers because it was late WCW. But I'm hoping we get that ECW channel soon.
So, you know, most wrestling fans have a match that was announced, like the one that's got away from them. It never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Sabu was in mine. And in, I believe it was 2013-ish, a UK wrestling company announced that their big show of the year, their WrestleMania, was going to be Sabu versus Vader.
Whoa.
Wow.
And it never happened. And I'm still really upset that we never got that.
Man, that would have been fun as fuck. That'd have been crazy, because Sabu is Sabu and Vader is Vader. And just trying to think of like the comeback that Sabu would try to fire off on Vader when it's time for that, it would have been wild.
Yeah. And good luck to the promoter. It's probably why it never happened, but good luck to the promoter pitching a finish to that.
Yeah.
Goodness. Anybody out there that's listening, whether you're a fan, a wrestler, if you've had an interaction with Sabu, we'd love to hear it. Drop your comments and your stories on our socials at In My House Pod. If you want to send us a DM to tell a story, go ahead. Hit us up with your favorite Sabu matches and recommendations, because I'll go look for Sabu matches just to see ones I haven't seen yet. I've seen a decent amount when the WWE Network was a thing and the ECW collection was there, but now that it's not there readily available, I'm hurting to try to find more Sabu matches from ECW.
Sabu and Crowbar from WCW had a fantastic steel cage match, which is on YouTube.
Ooh.
I recommend that as well.
I like that one. I like that. Rest in peace, Sabu. Thanks for entertaining us for all those years. That was sick.
Great. Great talent.
Absolutely. Great talent.
We're going to get to Saturday Night's main event here pretty quick, but before we get to that, Tom has been telling Mike and I that he's got a couple questions for us.
Oh, so, Tom questions.
Yeah.
UK got, Tom questions.
A couple of Tom questions.
It's a Tom in it.
I can't. Hey, that's a record.
Hashtag 60 second man.
I can't take credit for. One of them comes from Twitter and one of them comes from me.
All right.
I've seen a lot on Twitter this week and I don't necessarily agree with it, but I also don't necessarily disagree for reasons which I will explain. But there's something going around that the women referees, the female referees that WWE and AEW have, Some fans believe they should only officiate the women's matches.
No.
No.
How do we feel about this?
No. No, fuck no. You're not getting in the action anyway. There are some women I think are tougher referee-wise than the men.
That's very true.
So, like, what a wild statement that is. No, I just break down as many barriers as you can, right? Like, your referee can be a woman in a men's match.
Whilst I agree, the only slight way I can kind of see the idiot's point of view where they're like, no, it shouldn't be, is if it's the world title match for the, I don't know, if it's Gunther and Jey Uso for the world title, and I see Jessica Carr, I hate her fucking name.
All right.
Jesus. Free. Well, then we immediately know there's going to be no shenanigans with the referee, because Jey Uso and Gunther are not touching her. That's the only way I can slightly see their point. But does it matter?
Until they do, though. Like, it doesn't have to be a strike. It could be a squish in the corner, which we've seen many times.
That's
like,
true. That's
for,
true.
For me, you're a referee to referee wrestling matches. I don't care if it's a man or a woman. Go out there and referee. And if people's issues out there are who's the referee, then you're focusing on the wrong fucking thing.
Yeah, no, I mean,
damn it, you people. Just sit and watch the match.
It was hard for me to watch the match at Reaper Wrestling.
But that's a different thing. So, that's positioning.
I just want to say, you're coming at people. Opinions on referees.
When it comes to who's being a referee in the match, I don't care who it is. Jessica Carr can referee Stone Cold versus The Rock if it ever happened again. Doesn't matter. Just don't be shitty at your job. That's what I care about. I don't want to see the referee shouldn't be a focal point in a match at all until it's a ref bump or a close call and I'm looking, is that two or three? That's the only time I ever want to see the ref. In 2025, I think I said this on the podcast on Saturday, in 2025 I fucking hate that the referee's like, hey, watch the closed fist. Fuck off. That's such like 70s wrestling rules that it could just go away. I hate it. I know it's part of like communication between refs and wrestlers, but fuck off. I hate it so much. But if you're going on the internet to bitch and complain that a female referee is doing her job in a male match, then just get off the internet forever.
Yeah, you hate women.
Exactly.
I hate those who wear stripes. Male or female.
So
I hate you all equally.
That was the question that was floating around on Twitter recently, and I was slightly interested as to what we had to say, and it went pretty much exactly like I thought it would.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're pretty good people.
So this one is my question.
Okay, the Tom question.
So
six and a half.
Basically, so
sorry.
On the very rare on the very rare time I'm not watching wrestling live, as in when Raw airs or SmackDown or GCW or whatever it is, I tend to find I don't enjoy it as much.
You don't enjoy it when it's not live. Is that what you're saying?
So if I'm watching SmackDown on a Saturday morning, which I do fairly regularly, I find I don't tend to enjoy it as much as if I'd watched it live on the Friday night.
Is that
a me thing?
That might be a you thing, because I love watching Monday Night Raw in 15 to 20 minutes. I
was going to say, this isn't a fair question. I
love it.
Mike hasn't watched live wrestling since Mania.
I guess the question is for
That's
Scott.
Not true. I watched Backlash live.
And Reaper.
I don't watch televised wrestling during the week.
Those
fuckers will have to do something to get me to watch Raw. And then I do, and I go, God damn it. They did it again.
So I guess my question is for Scotty and the In My House listeners.
Fuck myself. My answer is, like, I don't have to watch it live.
That's fair.
So I have a serious case of FOMO when it comes to wrestling on Monday nights and Friday nights. Big time. I did for AEW until it just got almost unwatchable, but apparently it's coming back and being good. I used to be like that, Tom. I used to hate having to tape it and watch it later. But the last couple months, well, since WWE came to Netflix for us Canadians, I don't get that way. If I'm watching it Saturday morning, Raw on Friday night, SmackDown on Saturday morning, I'm having a good time with it. If, especially if I haven't spoiled anything for myself, if I've stayed off the socials and we haven't chatted about anything, it doesn't bother me if it's a good show. I had to watch Raw on a bit of a delay this past week, and I had a great time with it up until Grayson Waller and Sheamus got in the ring. But I didn't get the WrestleMania hangover like Mike did and usually does. And sometimes I do too, but I've just been really, really enjoying everything on Raw and everything on SmackDown right now, having a reason to be on my TV. There's always some sort of story. And in the Vince era, especially in the 2010s, that didn't happen a lot at all. So I sat through all that garbage and it was fucking useless. I don't remember half of it because none of it made sense. Poor Dolph Ziggler's half of his career is gone because of just throwing together shit. But now things make sense and I'm just enjoying it. The Judgment Day stuff, I'm enjoying. It's fun for me. I like what's happening on SmackDown. The women's rosters on both main roster shows are killing it right now. And the nice little refresh we got too, I just enjoy it. But yeah, I can't say it. It bothers or it's not as enjoyable for me if I'm watching it on tape delay or the next day.
Well, there we go.
It's tricky because like I really enjoy wrestling. I do, but it's like too much of a good thing, right? Yeah. And I don't think when you're a weekly television show, granted, if you're the WWE, there's what? SmackDown 3 hours?
Ugh, yeah.
For another 2.5 hours anyway. Of Raw and then NXT, like you're 7 or 8 hours in the week of their programming. It's just too much.
Yeah.
It's just too much. And I don't think a lot of the time is doing as much for the storyline, like you're saying, Scott, as you think it does. Like it's those are there for a reminder for the audience who jumps in and out.
Yeah, I just
don't feel like you could. Like I think there's some stuff. Yes, it moves along, but I think majority of the time it is retreading the same thing for a long time until you get closer to an event where they need you to buy tickets for, like a big one, or they need lots of eyes on. But again, that's the nature of the beast, right?
Yeah,
like you're in for it,
right?
Or you're not. That's it. Like. Would I think it's better if they weren't, if they had normal television seasons? Yeah. That's just not the nature of their industry.
Oh, I would hate that.
It's just not the nature of that business. Like they would never go to be like, here we are. We're going to run from September to just the beginning of June.
Mm-hmm.
And we're done for the summer. Like it just doesn't work for wrestling.
Speaking of needing you to buy tickets, the In My House podcast will be in attendance for CWE next week.
Ooh, oh, can't wait.
Point to prove? They got a point to prove?
It's Cruel Summer, isn't it? Or is it Point to Prove? I've been hearing Bananarama a lot, so.
I think it's Point to Prove. I think the Cruel Summer Tour is the Ontario tour happening right now.
Amazing how pumped am I?
I'm excited. Cowboy James Storms is coming back for this tour, and he's challenging for the CWE World Championship against Chiseled Chad Daniels.
Hey, Chiz!
And since he's turned heel and become a champion, he is the guy to watch in CWE. I am very excited for this match. We've seen James Storm before, and he's coming back. Super pumped for it. They've got a great show. There's a couple title matches that's happening as well. Danny Duggan's trying to get back in that title scene. He cut a mean promo the other day, so... Get your tickets for CW if they're coming through your area because they're touring right now in Saskatchewan and Alberta. Mm-hmm. Get out, sell out those shows, go buy some merch. It's going to be a fun time.
CWE are everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
And you're right. It is the Point to Prove tour.
Awesome. You know, I love being right.
Sounds like someone proved his point.
Hey-o!
Real quick, because we got about a minute left here, fellas. I'm going to make a statement and not necessarily a statement. It's going to be a fact. It just hasn't been proven yet.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Love that.
Saturday night's main event is this Saturday. And what I believe will be the opening match, it's not main eventing, but what I believe will be the opening match will be R-Truth challenging the undisputed WWE champion John Cena, who I fucking hate. I am predicting that this match,
not a title match,
will be better than Cena versus Cody and Cena versus Randy combined. This match will blow those two matches so fucking far out of the water that you'll go, this probably should have been on Mania. It was that good. Here's the reason why. Ron the Truth Killings is going to show up and show out and embarrass John Cena. He's not going to win the match because John Cena ruins wrestling, so he's going to cheat to win. But this match will be fantastic. This match will be so much fun. So much fun. We're going to get some real pro wrestling from one R-Truth. That is my prediction. That is my soon-to-be fact. By the time we're doing this show next week, you will go, yes, we fact-checked you, Scott. You were correct. That is now a fact. That will happen on Saturday night's main event.
No, that match will be a minute long.
Minute-long squash, Randy Orton will come out.
No, you guys are insane. You're insane.
I love R-Truth. Don't ever get it twisted. But he's getting fucking squashed by John Cena.
As he should.
Yes.
Nope. Nope.
This take is just wild. Send all your hate to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast for this god-awful take Scott just had. Mention his name. Also, wish the guy a happy birthday. He's 60 years old today.
60 years old.
60 Jesus. Years old, brother.
You got and let's his... not forget, he is still one banned bitch.
Yeah, oh, super banned. The birthday ban. Yeah.
Birthday oh, ban. That lasts band. A year.
Yeah, after that goddamn take he just had. Holy Christ.
Send it to at In My Host Pod, where you will send your congratulations and agreements with me. And we will read it next week on the show. Fellas,
or if not, fun. he won't read anything else.
We'll have to wait and see. For UK Tom, Monday Night Mike, I am Scotty Villa. This has been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to my play that music.